We're beginning our stewardship season. And in a lot of churches, that means the pastor up at the front goes, "We're not going to make the budget, we're going to die, we can't pay the oil bill, so give more money." We're not going to do that. I just did, actually, we're done. No, what we are going to talk about is what this church means to all of us and what this church can be to the larger community and why it's worth putting our time, our talents, and our treasures to work with this group. And our first person who's going to share a little bit is Alyssa.
Hey, so I didn't get home from work really late last night, so this is a bit of a stream of consciousness, so bear with me if it stops making sense at any point. I'll tell her. I'll just... Okay, there we go. So for those of you who were at that meeting 2 weeks ago, I couldn't be there, but Emily read some of my words. And so some of you already know this, but how I got involved in this church was by being invited. Josh and Melanie are friends of mine, and they're like, "Hey, we found this really cool church. The pastor's really neat. He's an environmentalist, and they're very welcoming. They think outside the box, and I think you'd really like it." And, you know, this is coming from people I know and people I trust, and they're inviting me through this lens of love of, "Hey, we found something we love, and I think you'd love it too." And I came, and I love it, and I love you all, and I'm still here. Contrast this with how I've also been invited to a church. I used to work at a bank, and I never figured out who it was. But somebody would come through our drive-thru, and after their transaction, they would leave us Christian propaganda, I guess we could call it. So sometimes it was pretty benign. It was like a smile, Jesus loves you sticker, which is just like, okay. And then especially around Halloween, it would turn into these little cartoon booklets about how celebrating Halloween would send us into eternal damnation and the lake of fire and skeletons. And it was some pretty macabre stuff. And we, you know, with a phone number and website on the back. So obviously that didn't really work. I never contacted that person. I never even figured out who it was. But I don't really feel that was done through a filter of love. So when I was trying to figure out what to say last night, I read Luke 6:36, and it said, "Try to show as much compassion as your father does." And we already do that in so many ways. Like Essex Eats Out is awesome, and Fifth Sunday is phenomenal. And how else can we do this? And signs. Let's give them a sign. Let's leave the light on. Welcoming people from all walks of life, especially those whose paths have taken them through judgmental territory. It can be messy and uncomfortable to love radically. There's so many types of people in this world, and we don't like all of them, but we do need to love all of them. We are called on to live like Jesus taught us. And he made it abundantly clear that his father's house is huge and has lots and lots of room for all of us. And by showing our love, we can make sure that everyone knows there's room for them too. By looking at the world through this rubric of love that Jesus taught us, why should we spend our time and energy and resources trying to support and grow this church? And it's because love multiplies. When we pool together all that we can give, whether it's your talents, your painting, your money, your time, your creativity, when we pool those talents together and give all that we can and use love like we read about in the gospel, I think we can do some really powerful and cool stuff. And the more people we invite into the party, the more love there's going to be. When we put our love on the outside, and when we lead with love, I think that the people who really want and need love are going to find their way in, and the people who have love to give are also going to come in and share that love, and it's just going to keep multiplying. Did I understand the assignment? All right. Thanks.